there's always a scared little kid inside of all of us. And when you're working with video and you're putting yourself out there and you're being visible, you're going to hear all of the things that you heard as a kid. You're going to think about all of the things that people told you that's going to reflect on the camera. And so that's why this work is so deep for me.
Welcome to Unique Genius, the podcast where we explore the journeys of exceptional creators who are changing the face of online business. I'm Greg Smith, a creator myself and co-founder and CEO at Thinkific. Today, I'm joined by Zaylee Barkley. Coming from humble beginnings, she immigrated here from Trinidad and has founded a very successful business. Her insights on content creation are exceptional, and I know there's a lot for you to learn from her.
I'd love to understand, because we never talked about this, why you do what you do.
I just lead with my heart. And so I know I want to help people. I've always known I wanted to help people. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. My dad was. And I really admired him, like really studied him. Like, you know, he's my hero growing up. And I knew I wanted to work for myself. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Luckily, then my path led me to helping people to build their own visibility in the online space. What I love from that is just being able to change someone's life based on helping them, you know, or providing that service. So I do what I do because I can actually see and feel a difference in people and their presence. And that lights me up.
Amazing. What did your dad do?
My dad is a mechanical engineer. I had to remember that. Like, so my dad is a mechanical engineer. He services boats. So let's say there's a St. Kitts and Nevis contract for the island. Like my dad will, him and his team will like service their boats because their boats are interconnected. I'm from Trinidad, by the way. So totally. I'm speaking about the Caribbean here. And so, so he would service like whatever transportation, like the boats and all of that. So he started off and just realized he didn't want to work for anyone and he wanted to work for himself. He started really young. I was still very young. And just to watch him work hard, but for himself, was a blessing. So now I'm like, Dad, like, you didn't tell me this part of entrepreneurship.
So he shared some of that with you. And
oh, yeah, that's the biggest blessing. Like, just being able to call him and be like, the other day I shared a story about like when I made my first $4,000 and I called him like, Dad, oh, my gosh, can you believe I made $4,000 this month by myself? And the next month I called him and I was like, Dad, I didn't make any money this month. Like, I thought I was going to be a millionaire from here. Like, what's going on? And so he was like, well, there are seasons, right? So, well, for him, seasons, because, you know, with boating and transportation, there is a spike season in the summer where everyone is, or maybe in the winter, everyone comes down to the Caribbean to, like, sail. Or, but, I mean, yeah, there are seasons for every entrepreneur, I feel like. Yes. You know, it's like your busier seasons and your seasons where, you know, it ain't that busy.
Right. And you had someone else in your family, too, I think that
my grandmother was an entrepreneur. I feel like my whole family really has entrepreneurial roots. My dad's dad was also an entrepreneur. So he serviced cars. So we grew up like running in and out of like stripped down painted cars. Like they would paint cars and I would be running through the cars in the yard, you know. And then my grandmother had a kind of like a little shop, a little deli. And just growing up with her and just sitting by her feet as she sold. And then growing up, she started teaching me about money and, you know, how much change I'd have to give back to someone or, you know, this person wants this, go get it. And so seeing her was very inspiring as well. I remember when she became ill after a while. My grandfather took over. He's like, wait, you've been making this much money in here? She was a very smart businesswoman. And so just having those kinds of roots for me, it definitely inspired my journey.
That's amazing. It's great to have someone like that to learn from and inspire you. And so how do you help people now?
Well, so now I do consulting. I do coaching as well. So I have my own online courses, of course. and memberships, and also worked on the like complete other side with corporations. I earlier this year wrapped up working with Viacom as a Thinkific expert, but also I spearheaded the project. I was the lead consultant on it. And so was able to wrangle a few teams on like a almost 2 year long project. And so that was pretty cool because it merged my just skill of understanding the online course experience for students, but also that strength with video for me and being visual. So it like imagine working with MTV on their educational content. So I was able to fly out to New York and sit on production and, you know, help them like map out and script in the way that the student would receive it on the other end. And that was amazing. I was able to, you know, like look at Roy Woods Jr., work his magic. And so that's kind of what I do, work on both sides. Mm-hmm. I choose to consult sometimes. Right now I'm really pouring into my membership because I really want that to be its own like beast.
Yeah.
So I'm focused on that right now.
Why does the membership stand out for you? Or what's the benefits of doing a membership model?
I mean, monthly recurring, of course, is amazing, or even annual recurring.
Annual recurring revenue,
yes.
Right? People pay a subscription.
Exactly. I think that every business owner should have some type of recurring revenue coming in. And so for me, that is something I definitely want to continue building. This is my fifth iteration of a membership. and so it's the other thing is I love containers. Yep. I get to pour into my people. They get to see better results. They get to spend more time with me, have more access. And that lights me up.
Nice. So what's that membership model look like for you?
Yeah. So you come in and you pay for the year and we have like monthly master classes. My husband does his tech class because he is more, he knows all of the lenses and all of those things, strategy. So we do separate sessions for that where people can come in and ask questions. They have access to all of my courses. I have so many courses on Thinkific as well. And so they're just able to have the experience of having ready-to-go content that they can dive into. They can search that content. But also having that support, because I do believe in that support system. I believe in that energy, that vibe, being around people, being able to possibly even have your ideal customer or client in the room with you, I think is so powerful because to get that instant feedback. So it's really my community or membership is really like a family.
Yeah.
Like,
is there a community that they're in, a virtual one?
Yeah.
Great.
So they do have access to a community on the platform, but we also just host that warmness that like, you know, I love bringing people together in a room where I am not essentially the expert or just on, you know, a webinar kind of setting. I love having people just in that room and the connections that creates. Like I've had people that have worked with me for years and they still love that experience.
Take some of that pressure off you too, right?
And oh, it does.
Shares it with others lets others shine.
Yeah, exactly.
So your models, you've got a membership model, you've got courses. Yeah. You still sell the courses individually or are they now only part of that membership?
Yeah. So we're currently revamping. I'm really focusing on putting back like a small offer on front end, hosting my signature course, which is the camera confidence class, and then leading people into membership. So, you know, I took a break while I was consulting because I was doing a lot. And so now we're, you know, restructuring things. So I know what I want to do. That is exactly what I want to do. I love hosting the camera confidence class and seeing people get results from that. Mm-hmm. And if you want to stay on longer with us in the membership, you totally can.
So that's the small, people come into your audience, they learn about you. There's a small entry course.
There's a small entry one because I feel like just having that course out there, you just get more qualified people. And that's a time-saving course. It's a template, basically. It's a video pro planner. I've been using it for years. And so we use it internally on our team as well. And, you know, you opt into that. And then, you know, if you'd like to get on the wait list for the camera confidence class because you're buying a video template, you know, you have the option to, you know, join the wait list and join the camera confidence class when we're essentially. Right.
And then from there into a membership potentially.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And then you also have corporate partnerships and consulting, right?
Yes. And I also do sponsorships and things like that too. So.
Okay. But. So sponsorships as well. I'm curious all your business models because you got the small course, the big course, the membership with all the courses.
Yes.
Sponsorships.
Yeah.
Partnerships and consulting.
Yes. And consulting.
So what are some of that sponsorship, partnership, consulting stuff? Consulting, I guess you go in and charge for your time on a big contract basis.
Yes, exactly. So just more of overview work of like, okay, no, don't do this, do that kind of thing, which I enjoy thoroughly. Yeah. Obviously with partnerships and things like that, I love aligning myself with brands that I believe in and that I truly love.
Yeah.
Because that's just how my heart is. If I don't really like something, I'm not gonna.
Yep. And how do you look at these partnerships? Is it more sponsorship stuff where you're promoting their brand?
I feel like most of my partnerships started off really organically. Mm-hmm. It really started off with a product that I loved and used, and then started sharing with my audience about it. Honestly, the brand usually would come to me like, hey, you know, because I do have that audience of people, especially on YouTube, who are looking for software solutions. They're growing their business. They're looking to take it to the next level. They want to stop doing things on their own. Or let's say it's an online course and they used to deliver it on Zoom and now they want to refine things a bit. So, you know, I would share organically. And if I choose to, if there has been no brand connection, I would reach out and be like, hey, like, you know, how could we work together? How could we partner? Even with partnerships, I love doing, you know, work where I expose them to my audience, but I also love teaching their audiences.
Yeah.
Like, and that creates, that's a strategic partnership to where it's like, if you have, let's say you're a webinar company and, you know, I come in and teach a class, I get exposed to your audience. And if they decide to, because obviously webinar video, hello, people sign up. Maybe they're not using it because they're like, oh my gosh, all of the tech and all of this stuff. I come in and teach a class. And so they get value as the brand, but I also get value because I'm in front of my ideal customers and clients.
Right.
And so then when they start exploring, they see my socials, they see my credibility, and, you know, a relationship starts from there.
Nice. I like that sort of, it goes both ways. You're helping promote their product, but you're also getting in front of their audience.
Yes.
Amazing. That's a lot of different products. If someone's getting started, what do you usually recommend at this point they start? Is it diving into these corporate partnerships or is it going straight for courses, or where would you usually see people or ideally starting if they're earlier in the journey?
I think it depends on where you are in your journey, right? If you are earlier in the journey, I love the idea of having access to an audience that's already primed. So if you love a product, and I come from the influencer space, so some of my skill comes from that. Like, you know, I was into beauty and fashion and I'm like, okay, now I really want to make a mark in the software space. And I know how to relate to a group of people.
Yeah.
Right. And if I love something, I'm going to organically share it.
Yeah.
And so if you're using something right now, or there's a tool that you love or something that you really love, and you start sharing that, it exposes you to a whole new audience who's also interested in that thing. If that thing is connected to your product or service or your online course, then it's a blessing for both people.
Yeah. So those partnerships can actually be really good.
Lucrative.
Relatively early. Brand and audience building. For
you. Especially if you're a smaller, you know, creator. And you're just starting. I think it's awesome because maybe you don't have that built-in audience just yet. I'm really an advocate of, especially if you're in the online space, connecting yourself to just an idea or a product or a brand. Like, you got to start somewhere that is possibly outside of who you are, but aligned with your service or product.
Yeah, because it's interesting because you started with some of the beauty. And at one point you're doing jewelry, right? Why the switch from beauty and say jewelry and things like that into?
That's a really good question.
Video.
So I've always loved visuals, photos, pictures. I am a creative at heart. I had to learn how to really be a business owner. And I feel like creatives were like so up and down, you know. I'm also neurodivergent. So maybe that has a part to play into it. But Creative people, we get into a loop of, first of all, am I going to charge a lot for this thing? Maybe not. This comes so natural to me. I just love doing this. Nobody's going to pay for this. All of that. So when I first started in business, my dad would say, like, look at your stuff. Like, it's amazing. Like, you have to sell it. So I'm like, Dad, I don't know how to sell. Like, what? Because he's a business owner. So obviously for him, he has already, like, you know, understood this is a service and you're exchanging money for that service. I had to really conceptualize that. I was the most shy person ever. It was really hard for me to sell. Now I'm like, give me that jewelry again. I can sell it. But so I had to go through that process of learning my value and learning kind of the transformation of what I was giving to someone else. So I gave up on jewelry because I was like, this is not doing anything.
There wasn't a moment there that sort of transferred, that you made a transition to seeing your value there until you moved out of jewelry?
No, I didn't see my value. I'll tell you, I started seeing my value when I started in the beauty space.
Okay.
Right? But I wasn't being paid my value. So I was like, okay. And I see lots of influencers in this place. They have thousands of followers and all of that, and they're not making any money. Mm-hmm. I had to make a decision of, okay, I don't want to continue working with JP Morgan. I don't want to climb their ladder because I was working for them. And I was like, so what is my plan? Like, what am I going to do? And I was like, okay, one thing I've always gotten is you are amazing on camera. Like, can you show me or can you teach me how? Like, I was one of those people that was really early in, like, production value, and
I knew you were good at it.
I was able to articulate myself on camera. I'm also just very transparent and honest, so there was a genuine connection there. I understood my skills, and so I was like, okay, I'm gonna show people how to do this, or even these influencers who are out there, like, you know, I want to help them just clean up that presence. And I remember I actually pitched someone and they laughed at me. And I was like, oh, it's on. I can't do this anymore.
You pitched someone in the beauty space?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they laughed at my pitch. And they literally, like, wrote back. I was looking for that email recently because that would have been amazing.
Hey, girl, we get to have that.
And the brand is not around anymore. But they laughed at me. And so that was like, okay, I need to move into a place where I can teach and share. I'm going to start with what I know and what I know I can confidently help someone with.
Yep.
And then I'm going to, you know, obviously grow. So as I grew, I realized, okay, now I'm a business owner. I'm making money. Video is my vehicle. It's the thing that I can help people to use to, you know, just amplify their presence in the online space, become more visible, become more known. I call it building an in-demand brand. And as I grew, I learned how to sell on camera. I learned how to host specific events for launching. I learned how to dominate, like, you know, just get confident with your webinars or whatever it was. And I realized that I was building really lucrative skills along the way that still aligned with helping people get on camera.
And I love this because you were developing these skills by doing it yourself, but also quickly transitioning to teaching it as you were picking it up. Like, you weren't waiting till... No. I've got it all dialed. I'm the perfect expert in this space. Like, you were even, I remember working with us fairly early in the journey of like, hey, I've figured some things out.
Yeah.
It's not everything, but I've got enough to teach that next person to get to where I'm at. And now where you're at, you've got a team, 5 people total. And so tell me a little bit about how you thought about, because that's a big step, right? Hiring that first person. What was that like for you? How do you think about it's time to grow a team?
It's funny because I started dibbling and dabbling really early, but also as a creative person, I felt like I could do it on my own.
We do. Yeah. We do think we can sometimes.
I could do this on my own. Like, I could do this better than anyone. And then, you know, you hire someone to edit for you and you're like, oh man, wait, you could do that better than I can. And I don't have to waste time doing it. And so things like that, like, I always tell people, like, please, you think you can do this thing really well? You can't. Focus on your genius or focus on being front facing so you can market. You just, when you hire, you get to do things that are more lucrative or valuable mm-hmm. for your company than milling around in Canva
right.
or trying to create a graphic. Or
so did you think about it that way in terms of yes. like, okay, my time is more valuable here than yes. it is here. So I'm going to hire someone to do this thing that I'm either not as good at or it's not generating the same return I can get if yes. I'm over here.
Yeah. And it took me a while to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
And I wish I learned it earlier.
Right.
You know, so for me, that was one of the things like, oh man, I should have done that earlier because I started feeling the weight of now I am doing marketing myself. I'm doing all of the editing, the graphics. Mm-hmm. I'm on back end running right. a course, building the course, mm-hmm. doing all the things in the membership. And I am yeah. burned out. I'm tired. And, you know, I know that we can do more.
Right.
So.
But earlier, would you do that thinking affordability and, yeah. and at what point in your sort of revenue cycle would you be like, that's the time to hire?
Is it? Everyone talks about six figures. That's the, you know, in my space, that's the right. popular number. Like, I want to get to six figures. Or, yeah. so, you know, you'll see those numbers hanging about. Mm-hmm. And I do think that that is the vehicle to getting you there. Like, mm-hmm. you do need to outsource.
Right. To get to the six figures.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay.
So as you're getting at least a living wage, then you're yeah. thinking, okay.
Get a contractor. Find a VA. Yes.
Start looking at getting exactly. even a part-time.
Yes.
Right.
Get some help so that, you know, you can do the things that are really revenue generating activities yeah. in your business. So.
And how did you look at adding people to the team? Like, was there core values? You like, do you have,
yeah.
I know you have a few of these things. So I'd love to hear some of the values within, you know, your business, how yeah. you look at what's really important to you in terms of adding people or decisions you make. You talked about partners you want to align with. What are the values you, or how do you think about values in terms of operating?
I know that the frequency of the business inside or, you know, internally affects everything externally. That's mm-hmm. my belief. And so making sure that I have people on the team that really care, like you yeah. genuinely care, you're open to learning because I am. We mm-hmm. all, you know, we're all learning along this journey. Being open to, I'm big on communication as mm-hmm. well. You know, being able to like, let's talk about it rather than you're stewing over there and I'm here because, you know, something wasn't done the right way. Like
right.
being open to like, I love having open communication. And of course, I've ran into like, you know, times where someone feels one way and I feel another way. And I'm like, hey, no, we got to talk about this because we don't want this to affect, you know, anything inside. And so just those kinds of things. Also, I think for me, my values, I talk about them a lot externally.
So there's something that transfers beyond just your internal operations. You actually share it in your community and with your
yeah,
audience.
Like even my beliefs on women of color in the online space. Like if you're on the team, you got to be okay and open with that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
You know, because it's one of my core things that I speak about or that I'll share about or even our audience, mm-hmm. you know, so just making sure that that person is aware because those conversations are never really easy mm-hmm. to have, right? And so making sure that they're aware of that mm-hmm. is really important.
But do you think having those clear values, especially externally, connects you better with your audience or helps you?
I think it does. It's scary. It's really scary. It's very emotionally taxing, but there are things that need to be said and put out there and being brave enough to have that conversation, is something that there are days where I'm like, why did I even open this?
That's like sharing your experiences.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but also you'll get like DMs or emails or, you know, you'll have like people come up and talk to you and say thank you for. And then in that moment, you're like, okay, I see why.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's hard, but it's important.
It is hard, but it's important. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you, the outcome of that is probably you build a far more connected, real yes. audience.
Yes. And that's too. What I
and
care about.
Important change in the world as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not definitely. All just marketing.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And that's yeah. really important because these are real lives. This is what I live every day. mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people. So yes, it is very much real. And yeah. I honestly initially never thought about it as marketing. Mm-hmm. And I still don't because this is real. You live through it yeah. daily. So I think it's that's really important. Mm-hmm. that I am able to share those experiences and see other people that were hiding and, mm-hmm. and feeling like, you know, I thought I couldn't do X, Y, Z or, you know, things like that. Like when I say every day, like walking into a room and you have natural hair and locks and things like that, I dress differently. I'm very expressive with my external appearance and that's not always accepted. Mm-hmm. So just even things like that.
So what would you, as where you're at now, what's your, how would you think about your mission, your vision, your reason for doing all of this? Is there something you center back to or focus on?
Yeah. I think about myself as a kid.
As in, look how far you've come?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that little girl. I don't want to get emotional, but, you know, I'm doing this for other people that I felt this way. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not in control. I don't belong. I can't do X, Y, Z. I've been told I can't do this or that. I know I deserve more. I know I was placed here to lead, but I'm not too sure how because I can't lead myself. Like things like that.
Yeah.
Like those are the people that I want to make sure that they have a platform, you know, like, so, and those are the people I work with.
Yeah.
Because something like running a business, putting yourself out there publicly, speaking, you know, you're speaking what you feel and you're talking about your experiences, building a brand in the online space, there's always a scared little kid mm-hmm. inside of all of us. And when you're working with video and you're putting yourself out there and you're being visible, you're going to hear all of the things that you heard as a kid. Mm-hmm. You got to feel all of those things. You're going to think about all of the things that people told you that's going to reflect on the camera. And so that's why this work is so deep for me, because all of those things are, it's a lot. Yeah. Now I got to think about all of this. Like I got to sell. Mm-hmm. I got to, you know, like communicate. I got to connect. I got to read these comments. I got to answer this. I got to remember my script, my frameworks, mm-hmm. all of these things. And in that moment, there's a lot you're dealing with as far as all of the mechanics that go mm-hmm. along with it. And then there's a kid inside of there, like, can you really do all of this?
Yeah.
Are you, you know, like, who are you?
Was there a moment for you where you felt like you looked back or jumped beyond that kid who's being told you can't do this? Yeah. Or even just a technique you use to continue to deal with that? I'm doing it.
No, I think every level
it's ongoing.
That kid comes out
yeah.
and says, you sure you think we should do this?
So sure? How do you deal with that and keep going and keep?
I'm sure.
Because it's not holding you back, right?
It's not. I know what I want. Mm-hmm. I know how I want to impact people. And I know that if I don't do what I was placed here to do, yes, I would be doing a disservice to myself, but those people, you know, like this is the future.
I love that. You're really, yeah. you come back to that, the help you want to create for others, the difference you want to yes. make for others. And that keeps you going.
Yeah. It keeps me fired up. Yeah. I think about the woman who's in the corporate space mm-hmm. and she's looking to build her personal brand mm-hmm. so that she can advance. And I've helped people do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you need to build your own presence in the online space in order to, if you do desire to continue moving up or mm-hmm. get to the top, you need to do the things that are required for that.
Right.
You know, so even if it's, yeah. if you're a business owner or if you are climbing in corporate or whatever it is, like, yeah, I love pouring into those people because the transformation with that support is mind-blowing.
Right. And that gives you that continuous feedback yes. to keep going and doing more. And
yeah,
that's is from a business perspective, is there a way you look at success or measure your business? Or
I live in the US. Mm-hmm. My family is back in Trinidad. I do still have some family in New York. My mom is in New York. Mm-hmm. But just like when I first like started making money, I'm like, oh, we made it, mama. Like, where do you want to live? I'm kidding. Yeah. But
was she in Trinidad then?
No, she lives. She lives here. Yeah. So, you know, I was like, okay, I made it. And then I started understanding, okay, so now I have to advance and, you know, like start thinking bigger and, you know, really running this as a business. As I said before, I'm a creative at heart.
Yeah.
So I had to learn. And that comes with time. Mm-hmm. You got to do your reps, right? And so it just came with doing things over and over, looking at the past years, observing cycles and things like that. And that kind of helped me realize, okay, this is snowballing. It's a real thing. So my brain is also catching up to my pockets of like what is monetary success? Mm-hmm. What is personal success? We were speaking about this the other day, my husband and I, like, you know, just being able to exist and think and not have to worry about all of the things that are coming and things that you have to do. And, you know, I come from a background where, you know, you didn't put your credit card on auto pull. Like, no, I'm gonna call you when I'm ready to pay you. Yeah. Go to my bank account. And so just being able to, and then you realize as you grow what ease that is, like, take it out because I'm gonna pay it late and I'll forget,
right?
You know, like, I'll forget to call you, so you just do what you gotta do, kind of thing. And so I think just, you know, just growth and that thought of like, how are we impacting people? Mm-hmm. And how does that allow me to now build a business that is quote unquote successful? But I would say I feel successful already, to be honest.
Yeah, it must have been nice to make that call to your mom too.
I know. I was kidding about that.
Yeah. Oh.
But but I will one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Thanks.
So
I'm curious, it sounds like you've done a lot of this with building the team, but how do you think about the level that the business actually depends on you to be there every day to do all of the things?
Yeah.
And you started doing everything.
Yeah.
You've got a team now, so you're not doing everything, you're doing where your time is most value. Is there a continuous evolution for you there?
Yeah, I feel like it is continuous. I'm still learning to, you know, like, let people fly. Like, you're doing this, you do that. I don't have to be in there as much as I used to be. I can actually, like, just relax or be present with you here and things are happening and I don't have to be. So I'm in that place now. That was a process, you know, like, not logging into my emails and monitoring everything that's going on and wait, what's going on over here? Like, because I also come from a place of, I feel like as women, we are always like, our brain is like, we're thinking about home, work, like so many things. Right. So, and we also feel like we do have to do it all. So I think for any woman, that's a process of like, hey, you can chill out.
You don't have to do everything.
You don't have to do everything. You don't have to hover over everything. Mm-hmm. You can let it flow. You can trust the people that you are working with.
And now that you've done some of that, what changes for you?
Well, I don't have an alarm anymore.
Oh, wow. That, I wish I could get there. Right? That's nice.
Well, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. yeah, just letting my body like naturally wake up has, and I didn't realize I was doing that. But I still wake up early. Mm-hmm. It's just that now I allow my body to wake up rather than, I used to, like, 4 hours of sleep was good for me. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, how did I do that? I'm getting older, but I'm like, how did I do that? So just simple things like that, like, you know, being able to step away, being able to attend conferences and just check out completely. You know, being able to spend time with my family and loved ones. Those things were really hard for me when I was in that phase of go, go, go. I can't depend on anybody. I gotta build this.
You always feel like there's something you should be doing.
Oh my gosh. And that was uncomfortable as well.
Yeah. Did you get that sort of, I've had this with the guilt of, if I'm not working, I'm guilty of not working.
I think I still go through that. But honestly, like, it really took my husband to be like, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. You don't have to. But yeah, that was really hard for me to process. I feel like I'm still processing that.
So what are you excited about for the future? Where do you see when you look ahead?
I see impact. I see like just more global presence and impact. Now, it's funny. We were laughing yesterday. I'm such an introvert. Mm-hmm. And so speaking in person, like on camera, put me on camera. I'm going to give you a show. But in person, I'm still learning to navigate that aspect of things. But I would say in the future, I do want to travel the world and speak. I do want that to be a part of what I do because I feel that I know I have to do it. Yeah. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure it out. I want to do a lot more of that. I see myself hosting workshops worldwide and just really building what we have because I feel like it's so important. I've been doing it for so many years and I know where I can take it. Mm-hmm. So just impacting the people.
And knowing where you are now, if you could look back and talk to yourself as a little kid, what would you say?
I would say, gosh, Greg, thank you. I'm about to cry. I would tell that little girl it's going to be okay. Just trust in yourself. You can do it. You're going to do it. Don't worry. Trust the process. Yeah. I want to cry. Okay,
sorry. Yeah. Kidding. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. And now you're here.
Yes. Yeah.
Thanks for joining me today with Saylee Barkley. I hope you learned a lot. In our next episode, we've got a whole new set of insights for those who are looking to scale their creator business.